In an election that will determine the fate of the entire universe, there's only one podcast holding politicians accountable. Scott Morrison, Anthony Albanese. Who will lose? Find out on The Chaser Report, Election Edition.
Hello and welcome to the election edition of The Chaser Report. It's Tuesday the 3rd of May. I'm Dom Knight. Hello, Charles Firth.
Hello.
Now, we've got two famous musicians on the podcast today.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yes, one of them is called Ben Lee. He's coming up to talk politics. He's very known for his political musings.
And a wonderful musician.
But also someone who's been gallivanting around Australia, billing himself as the hot one from The Chaser. Andrew Hansen, welcome back to the pod.
Oh, yeah. It's so horrible to be back here with you two.
I can't believe we've got Andrew Hansen.
He's so hot.
Incredible. I mean, Ben Lee's great, but Andrew Hansen?
I thought I'd deign to stoop to be here, largely to plug my tour is the only reason I agreed to this.
How tongue-in-cheek was the hot thing intended as? Because I see it throughout all of your socials. I stalk you online because you're so famous now. And I can't work out whether you genuinely think you're the hot one from The Chaser. We all know it's not me.
There's no irony there.
There are other contenders.
Look at me. Look at how smoking hot I am. If you follow my socials, you will have seen my headshot. And every time you see it, you would think, ooh, he's hot.
What about Craig? And Chris, for that matter.
Craig's the wooden one from The Chaser.
You burn water and it gets hot.
And what's Chris?
Chris is the formerly hot one from The Chaser.
Oh, that's true.
I think he's the one who was hot.
There were Chaz fans even back in the day. There were even some Jules fans in the early days. Okay, but because you used to bill yourself as the good one from The Chaser, and I think that was more indisputable.
Yeah, well, look, I have to rebrand myself every tour, Domi, to generate some interest. I'm wondering about the next tour. That's what I'm thinking. Like, what should I be?
The bad boy from The Chaser.
Oh. Hey, that's cool. Yeah. The bad boy from the naughty one.
What about the dead one from The Chaser, and it will really confuse potential ticket buyers.
That might become true by the next tour. It depends how badly this one goes.
So look, we will get on to politics and the election news of the day, but there is an issue we need to raise. And look, it's a place very near to where I grew up and very near to my heart. It's called Chatswood. It's a lower North Shore suburb of Sydney.
Dom, no need to swear on the podcast.
And Andrew, I gather you're doing a gig there.
Oh, this Why? Is the thing. Look, I've got three more dates on my tour. Let me explain. All right. This Sunday in Brisbane, and the tickets are selling fast because I'm so hot. Then I'm doing two shows in Sydney, right? So this Saturday night, I'm doing The Factory in Marrickville. Tickets are selling fast because I'm so hot. But where I've hit a bit of a stumbling block is that for reasons unknown to me, my producer booked a show this Friday in Chatswood.
Yes, at the Concourse.
At the Concourse.
We played that last Wednesday.
And did you? I mean, because
packed. But I think probably your problem, Andrew, is that you've got to go after the older set. You've got to appeal to, I don't know, think of people who watch Sean McAuliffe.
They don't like hot on
free-to-air television.
They don't want hot. Maybe I should have billed myself as the elderly.
The old one.
The tepid one.
Yeah.
The slow one from The Chaser.
Just plug that you've got a whole lot of anecdotes from World War II. And people, I'll go along to that. That sounds like a jolly time.
A proper night out like 1953.
That's right.
I think the problem is Chatswood. Because what people don't realise is it's not as dreary as it used to be. And this is, I've actually teamed up, I don't know if you know this, I've teamed up with the Chatswood Chamber of Commerce to rebrand the suburb of Chatswood and remind people just what a happening and undreary place it actually is. Take a listen to my ad.
Chatswood. Everyone thinks it's a dull, dreary dump. Wrong. Studies show Chatswood is now 83% less dreary than it used to be, with a modern library, a Westfield that's as big as a Westfield, and the indulgence of a Ben and Jerry's. Please note Chatswood Ben and Jerry's recently closed down. And best of all, the hot one from The Chaser, Andrew Hansen, is live at Chatswood's Concourse Theatre this Friday, the 6th of May.
Oh my God, Andrew Hansen's so hot!
Plus Marrickville on May 7 and Brisbane May 8. Book Andrew Hansen through Ticketek. And remember,
Chatswood's less dreary than it used to be.
Right, well, that's the stuff we had to do to convince Andrew to come back on the podcast. On today's show, You've even got a quiz and a sketch for us, Andrew. You've really come bearing gifts.
Oh, I've got so many goodies for you, Dommy. I've got a lot of goodies.
Well, we'll go with the hot muso before we go with Ben Lee. And there's going to be a bit of awkwardness, though, because didn't you write a song about Ben Lee once, Andrew? Let's have a quick listen to that song and just think about how awkward this might be.
And now the great Michael Jackson's been taken from me, but I don't understand, Lord, why don't you take Ben Lee?
And then I believe I found the worst candidate running in the 2022 federal election. But before we do any of that, let's check in with Charles' Daily Wrap.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Wrap for Tuesday, the 3rd of May. Inflation is soaring and now interest rates are going up, up, up. Morrison says you should vote for him because he's better at managing the economy. But at the same time, he's not actually responsible for what's happening to the economy. And anyone who says he is just playing politics.
You know what? It's not about politics.
If you actually listen carefully to that clip, you can hear the moment that Scott Morrison realises he's about to lose the election.
It's not about politics.
This leaves Morrison in a bit of a pickle. Until now, his sales pitch has been simple. You'll have more money under me. Now he's like, well, let's not talk about money. Maybe that hate campaign against trans women wasn't such a bad idea after all. Labor says the solution to rising prices and mortgages is to make wages rise. But Morrison says the government has no power over wages either. Isn't it amazing how little of the economy Morrison is suddenly responsible for? As interest rates rise, the average homeowner could be paying an extra $500 to $600 a month by the end of the year, which will be the first time in living memory that the brunt of economic pain has not been experienced by millennials and Zoomers. In fact, they may end up comparatively better off than the Boomers and Gen Xers who own their own homes. What the hell is going on? Isn't the whole reason we elected Morrison in the first place was to shit on millennials and Zoomers? Meanwhile, Jason and Kylie are reuniting for the final episode of Neighbours.
I'll be with you soon, okay?
I love you.
You too.
This has nothing to do with the election, but it's pretty cool. That's the wrap for Tuesday, the 3rd of May. We'll be back in a sec.
The Chaser Report.
Well, now I know that you guys have invited me here to be part of the election podcast, and I'd like to learn as much as I can and be an informed voter, Charles and Dom. So the place that I like to head for is the place that I imagine most Australians go for all their in-depth analysis, and that is breakfast television.
Oh, no.
So I've prepared, just to test, you know, how well-informed the two of you are, I've put together a little quiz that I like to call Andrew Hansen's Breakfast Television Election Quiz.
Catchy title.
Brilliant.
It's a great title, don't you think?
Very nice.
I think I'm hoping to spin this off into a major television series.
Yeah.
Now, let's dive into Sunrise. Now, I've gathered some moments of our dear Prime Minister and his appearance on Sunrise the other morning. Now, I'd like you to just have a listen to this because, you know Albo, he caught COVID at the start of the campaign. And they asked ScoMo, what did he think of this? And this is what Morrison had to say.
Well, I wish Anthony all the best. Having had COVID myself, you can get pretty crook, as I did for a few days. But so I gave him a few tips last night on a text message, some of the things I did when I had it.
Now, isn't that nice of Morrison? He's the Florence Nightingale of the election, really, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He's giving nice tips to Albert. Quiz. What kind of tips, Dommy, do you think Morrison offered Albo to help him get better from COVID out of the goodness of his heart?
I can imagine he said, look, the thing to do is if you've got Omicron, you need to also get Delta. Or if you've got Delta, get Omicron. Just make sure you get them all in one long succession. The other thing he might have said is the way I address any problem like this is to announce that I have a plan for it and then not do it.
Charles?
Yeah, well, I reckon it would have been – because you've got to get into the psychology of what Scott Morrison would do if he had COVID. And it would be like, oh, this is the perfect opportunity to get your wife to do everything for you.
Oh, yes.
So I reckon it would have been all about just get your partner to – like, this is a total excuse for getting out of work, getting out of the housework, getting out of everything. It would have just been that.
Yeah, look, well, I'd love to be able to reveal an actual answer to you, but those texts remain secret. Oh. Morrison didn't divulge
the only text to Scott Morrison's that haven't been leaked to the media.
That's right. Wait for it in tomorrow's news, I'm sure. All right, now, the other question, of course, on everybody's lips is, you know, I mean, Scott Morrison, he's sort of known as a man of the world, gets around. This is an interesting little revelation, because just in case you didn't know the very first thing that Scott Morrison did after the last election, well, he told Sunrise what that was. Have a listen.
After the last election, the first place I went as Prime Minister was...
Now, can you tell me, Charles, after the last election, what was the first place Scott Morrison went as Prime Minister?
Well, I know this. We all know this, which is Flight Centre to book a trip to Hawaii. Remember?
He just went, he would go to Flight Centre. He wouldn't book online, would he? Morrison would go to an old-fashioned travel agent.
He's not a do-it-yourself guy, let's face it. Although he may have gone to Bunnings.
Oh,
so it's either Bunnings or Hillsong or basically a very intimate embrace with Paul Murray. I don't know which of those three things it was.
Well, I'm going to play the answer for you. And it turns out, Charles, you were pretty close. Take a listen.
After the last election, the first place I went as Prime Minister was to the Solomon Islands.
Oh, here you go. Wow. He went on holiday.
I win. Oh, that's a point for me, surely. That is a point for me.
Hawaii is not the only tropical paradise that he likes to swan off to.
And a point for Scott Morrison, the last time he actually conducted a valuable diplomatic exercise.
Yeah, but do you think he knew that it was a separate country? Or do you think he just sort of was a holiday resort? Like, did it even occur to him?
Or did he think it was maybe a pilgrimage to the site of the biblical King Solomon? I don't know. But maybe that's why. Maybe this is why the China deal took place.
Yes.
Maybe the Solomon Islands had Scott Morrison visit and were so nauseated by him that they immediately went to China and said, please, we need a new partner.
We need to get rid of that ukulele playing guy.
Had he not gone, we could have avoided all this trouble.
Ah, what a huge error.
Let's stop him going anywhere else. Good God, please tell me he's not booked any trips to any other strategic partners. We must put a stop to this. All right, now, speaking of the Solomons, of course, the host of Sunrise, Natalie Barr, she did grill Morrison about his thoughts about the whole sort of China Solomons deal, and she wanted to get a straight answer out of him as to what he thought had really gone on. Take a listen.
When you say China doesn't play by our rules, are you saying that China has bribed ministers, people in the Solomon Islands government?
The best thing for me to say is they don't play by the same rules as transparent liberal democracies.
That sounds pretty loaded. It sounds like a yes.
So, hang on.
I would have thought that playing by Scott Morrison's rules would be about bribing ministers. This is the most corrupt government we've ever had. At a federal level, isn't he saying?
Maybe that's his.
Surely, what he's implying is, well, China didn't go in and bribe all the ministers.
Well, to be fair, there's There's a lovely multi-story car park now in Honiara that Scott Morrison opened while he was there.
The promise of a car park.
What are you saying, Dommy? He's not going to build one, is he? Yeah, they're still waiting. I imagine the Honiarans excitedly waiting for the car park. Well, she's obviously hoping that he will say, either yes or no.
Mm.
You know, when she says, what do you mean when you say the best thing is to say they don't play by the same rules as transparent liberal democracies? Well, he wasted no time in saying exactly what he meant by they don't play by the same rules as transparent liberal democracies. Take a listen.
That sounds pretty loaded. It sounds like a yes.
Well, it sounds like that they don't play by the same rules as transparent liberal democracies.
Okay.
Scott Morrison doesn't play by the same rules as interviews where you have to answer a question with a yes or a no.
No, that's right. Oh, look, what is the answer? I mean, you know, all these major parties, I mean, are we really prepared to vote for any of them, or should we go for a rogue independent? I just want to bring something to your attention because I've just noticed there is a very interesting minor party who's running in the election. I don't know if you guys have sort of, you know, I don't know if you're postal voters or have sussed out all the minor parties.
Mm.
But I think, you know, if we're not happy with Morrison and Albanese, it might be worth considering this interesting candidate. He's the guy who normally does those very fast voiceovers at the ends of campaign ads. You know the authorizations at end of those campaign ads? You know, they're written and authorized by 2 Reuben Canberra. Mm. Well, it turns out he's had enough of being a voiceover artist, and he's actually running for office himself. Take a listen.
Hello, Australia. T. Rickman, Canberra speaking. I'm one of those very fast voiceover artists you hear reading out the authorisations in political campaign ads. For too long, very fast talkers have been relegated to the end of campaign ads where our views are largely ignored, and it's time for change. Gradual change. I certainly wouldn't advocate change that takes place at a speed similar to my talking. That change would be far too fast. The major parties are both weak on policy and especially weak at talking fast enough. That's why I created the Very Fast Voiceover Party to represent the interests of people who can't help talking far too quickly. I'm essentially an independent candidate. I have no choice but to be independent because no one can hold a conversation with me, so I end up sitting on my own in the corner at dinner parties talking to myself at an extremely rapid pace. So this election, vote one Very Fast Voiceover Party, but don't vote as quickly as I talk or you'll mess up the numbering on the ballot sheet. Written and authorised by T. Rickman, Canberra.
I was wondering what you were going to do with the end.
I've missed your sketch, Daddy. I've got to say, congratulations. This is the 8th election that we've covered as the chaser, and you come up with a new angle on the very fast voiceover.
I didn't think I could do it because we've done so many fast voiceover sketches. And it struck me like a thunderbolt in the kitchen. I thought, there's one angle on those fast voiceovers that we haven't yet done.
The last
angle is that they run as a candidate.
Coming in 2025, the next angle.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Election news you can't trust. The Chaser Report.
So I mentioned that there were two musical legends on today's podcast. We've already had Andrew Hansen, the hot one from The Chaser, but we now have Ben Lee, the legendary Australian independent artist from Noise Addict, lots and lots of hits on the ARIA charts, second in the Hottest 100 twice and so on, and not hitherto a noted commentator on Australian politics, Charles. How did we organise this one, do you know?
I assume he's just got something to plug, surely. Isn't that the reason anyone comes on this?
Oh, yeah, that's, of course they do. Well, he did write the song that I think sums up the election better than anything else so far.
Mm.
Nothing matters, but a lot goes on.
Look, I think he's here actually to settle a score with Andrew Hansen, but let's find out. Ben Lee, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, congratulations on getting onto this podcast, because this is, of course, the Chaser Report Election Edition podcast. So I assume the only reason that you're here is because you're entering politics. Are you running in this election or something?
Yeah, I've been considering it. I think I just missed the cutoff for the official the ballot, but but no, I'm definitely like, you know, it's one of those weird things as an artist where like I'm passionate about it, but I'm also skeptical and innately cynical. Like I like the way poetry affects politics. So, you know, we all try and chime in and do our bit.
What do you think of Scott Morrison's ukulele abilities?
You know, his ukulele abilities are not that bad. It's just that he chose to show them off. Like if that was a hobby that we never heard him do, it would be absolutely acceptable. Yeah. But the fact that he thought that was a good idea to demonstrate those abilities, you know, there's a lot of people that play music as a hobby, and it's just a wonderful thing for them. Yes. And that's where it should be kept.
Because it felt like even his family didn't really appreciate his ukulele.
Maybe we're asking too much, but I feel like our elected leaders a basic ability to read the room is sort of a part of what we're voting for.
Would you have preferred him to do one of your songs, Ben? Maybe Cigarettes Will Kill You could have been a public health message.
Mm. Yeah, no, there are certain cultural moments that you sort of feel relieved to be left out of.
Do you use uke yourself on your recordings ever?
Do I use uke? I have used uke.
It's not a great instrument, is it?
You automatically conjure images of, I don't know, like Hawaiian culture, and it just sort of has, like, it's hard to get it out of its stereotypes or something, or tropes.
Now, we should probably address the elephant in the room, which is 14 years ago, Andrew Hansen went on national TV and made a song about you, which was not very kind to you.
Well,
is there still a feud between you two?
No, there was never a feud. I thought the main issue wasn't that it wasn't kind. It was just, like, not quite funny enough. I just think, because I think the thing about, like, the way I've always used humour is that, like, I think actually perform, because I'm deeply entrenched and always have been in, like, crossing over into the world of comedy, and I love working with comedians and everything, but I also think comedy reaches a certain limit where performance art doesn't, it can't touch what performance art can touch. And I think at the end of the day, I was funnier than that song was. And so that's, at the end of the day, it's just got to be about what's funnier, you know?
Brutal. Well, look, in my defense, and I'm going to throw Chris Taylor in front of the bus here, because he's not here to answer for his crimes, but the idea for the song and most of the lyrics were written by him. They were written by Chris Taylor. And this was what was interesting at the time, Ben, because I at the time, and still, I actually had no problem. You know, it's a song about finding Ben Lee a bit irritating. That's what the song's about. And at the time, I remember Chris presented this script to the script meeting and said, here's a song about Ben Lee being slightly annoying. Is this amusing? And could you play it, Andrew? He said, because I was the one who plays and sings, and I had no feelings about you at all, Ben. I mean, I'm not going to say that, you know, you're insignificant or whatever, but I had no problem with you. I had to say to Chris, look, I don't spend parts of my day thinking about Ben Lee, and I don't spend hours like you do, you know, wrapping myself in agonies over Ben Lee. So I felt awkward about being the face of that song. But in the end, we had to fill half an hour.
Ben Lee rhymed correctly? Wasn't the reason?
I don't think it even rhymed. It does rhyme with a few of the words in the song.
I think we're all roughly the same age, and we grew up in Sydney, those of us who love music, and Chris is very much into his music. We had to, from the age of what, 13, 14, we all had to hear about how amazing Ben Lee was for many, many years.
Yes.
Since you started Noise Addict, Ben, and I think for Chris it probably just built up as intense jealousy manifested in a somewhat mean lyric. But on the bright side, a lot of musos would say it was flattering to be mentioned in the same breath as people like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, of course, yes, of course. And also the other thing is about it that you're talking about somebody who is deliberately trying to be as annoying as possible. That was my entire, like, all I was doing for that whole decade of my life was living and breathing Andy Kaufman videos. Like, all I wanted to do was provoke people and annoy people. So it was like, it's not much of a criticism to say, oh, you're a bit annoying to someone who desperately only wants to be annoying. But I do remember being at the Lansdowne. I think I was seeing Sleepy Jackson, and I hadn't heard the song, but Holly Throsby was there. And I think, are you friends with her? I think she was the person who first told me about it. Yeah, she was like, oh, there's this song on The Chaser. Have you heard of it? I said, no, I haven't heard of it. And she's like, oh, it's a bit mean to you. I think there was concern you'd be upset about it. And I was like, it was honestly not that. Like I said, like, to me, that was like steroids. Like, all I wanted was to be irritating. It falls into a small but esteemed category of songs. There was the Ataris had a song called Ben Lee. Klinger had a song called Ben Lee. And I think those... Oh, and then the Maldi Peaches, one of their first songs was called I Wish I Was Ben Lee. So I think it's those four tunes are the canon of songs that discuss the pros and cons of being a fan.
Are we not even the best song about Ben Lee? I mean, we can't compete with the Maldi Peaches. That's very depressing to hear.
So you've got a new song out. It's called Like This or Like That. Remembering that this is an election podcast, is there any link at all to to the election or Australian politics that we can sort of weave in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think what that song Like This or Like That is about choices that seem arbitrary, but ultimately they're not, because they're how we express our values, right? So when I was growing up, when you guys were all the same age, whether you were a Pearl Jam fan or a Nirvana fan was a really big deal. Mm. It actually said a lot about what your value system was. It said a lot about what you wanted out of art, what you wanted out of like conversation, out of, you know, different types of the tribe you're part of. And similarly with, you know, the Beatles or the Stones, like these are all kinds of silly things, but they do express like, they express who we are and what we want out of our lives. And I think because I live, you know, most of the time in America, we got pretty involved with Biden's campaign in 2020. And it was undeniable that Joe Biden, the Democratic Party, were not anybody's dream candidate, dream platform. It wasn't even worth arguing about that. Like, you know, my stepdaughter, who was at the time she was 19, and very idealistic and, you know, a real lefty, the way, you know, a 19-year-old should be. She couldn't bring herself to campaign for Joe Biden, for the Democrats, because it just did not resonate with, like, her deepest held core belief system. Yet, as you get older and you become pragmatic, but you also become, you understand that it's sometimes the small choices that don't seem that different, where we actually make these kind of, like, key decisions about how we're going to approach the future. And I think particularly when you look at climate, similarly within America, I'm under no delusion that like suddenly we're going to like curb climate change because Labor gets voted in. I mean, these are like huge international and almost like cosmic problems that all these multinational corporations and lobbyists are all part of influencing. And it's like, I remain optimistic that they can be addressed, but I also sort of just believe that like whether you go down swinging is part of what makes us noble as a species. I want to go down swinging. If we are actually going to destroy this planet and destroy our species, which there is a chance that we're going to do, I want it written in like the cosmic records that I disagreed. You know, and so I think making those choices, even if they're not going to like solve the problem, they're the stories we're going to tell our kids. They're the stories they're going to tell their kids about, you know, it's like, what role did you play as the bus was going over the cliff? And it's, I want it to be known to my grandchildren that it was not standing silently while Donald Trump was reelected. It was not, you know, giving Scott Morrison another chance to have another 4 years of just ignoring the biggest subject that we need to be talking about. And that's, so, you know, it's like, in a way, you have to be a little bit hardened by life and have a certain amount of cynicism to realize that, like, damn, we can't fix it all with a vote. But like this or like that, those choices do matter.
That's a very impressive link, I got to say, Ben. So on May 21st, choose like this or like that, I guess.
Well, just realize that, like, it does matter and it doesn't matter at the same time. I'm not going to try and convince a 19-year-old that if they vote for the Labor Party, all problems are going to be solved. But I do think at a level of like the integrity of our species, we have to try and make progressive choices.
So you've got the album coming out August 19th, I'm Fun. How fun can we be in that context you just mentioned, Ben? Where do you find fun?
Well, that's the whole thing, man. Like, you know, I come from punk rock. I come from underground music. It's like, you guys come from like, you know, poking at the bear too. Like, that's what we're all doing, right? We're all like on the fringes of culture trying to like take a few jabs from where we stand. The mainstream, the machine of the mainstream and the music that it jams down our throat as a culture, I'm not going to be able to topple that, just the same way I'm not going to be able to topple climate change with one vote. But like, I do think that toppling an empire, like, it has to be done with a smile on your face.
Yeah. I love it. So fun is subversive.
Always. Always. Because in a way, like, our rebellious nature is beaten out of us with our depression and our cynicism. You know what I mean? Like, we become, like, so trapped within a system that we feel we can have no effect on, and we're sort of useless, and we just got to accept it. And then we may as well just become these, like, whiny, complaining voices because we don't believe we can affect any real change. Fun is cheeky.
Mm.
And I really come from that, like I said, Andy Kaufman, but also, like, Abby Hoffman, you know? Like people that sort of fought the system by just, like, with a wink, you know, and making you kind of think like, huh, like maybe the next generation are, if you could just give them a wink at the right time, you can say, hey, they didn't beat me. They didn't beat it out of me, you know? And that's like, I think, like, as we get older, we sort of are becoming like our generation, we're becoming like the elders, you know, of like Australian showbiz or whatever that is. And I just like, I really like, connecting with younger artists and kind of mentoring them and like just fostering their sense of cheeky rebelliousness and their sense of fun. Because I think that's where like real change can come from.
Yeah, it's sad that we're no longer producing comedy songs, making fun of like emerging artists in their 20s. No, but we've really lost it.
But we do. Yeah. We've got a number one song at the moment.
That is true.
I heard. I've been following
it. We are number one in the charts, in the iTunes charts. Cole Makes Me Come, number one. Is there a problem? Like, have you found that with your latest single, Like This or Like That, you've run into problems because, you know, there's a far more successful song out there, Cole Makes Me Come, that's just preventing your single from getting out there?
Look, as always, I think that the dualism that you are reflecting, as if it can only be the Chaser or Ben Lee, you guys are caught in a dualistic mindset that you've been in since 1999. We can both coexist.
Hey, Ben, it's been delightful chatting to you.
It's great. It's great to connect with you guys. And honestly, congratulations on this moment you guys are having with this song. It really is. It's the spirit, you know, it's silly, but it's not silly. And it's like, I think silliness is like way undervalued. And it's like, I just love that the spirit is alive in you guys after all these years to do something like that. So it's awesome.
And it's a banger tune. Like, it's an earworm. Yeah. That's the thing I like about it.
Yeah. Who actually did the music?
Well, none of us.
Cam Smith, our editor. So you talked about working with the next generation. That's who Cam Smith is. He's now the editor of The Chaser, and he's a polymath, and he did this banger of a tune.
And I mean, it's Scott Morrison as vocalist. Really, I wouldn't have thought he had it in him based on the April Sun in Cuba that we all heard.
Well, I'm hoping he's going to win, an ARIA for best rock vocal. I mean, he's eligible now, isn't he? Because he is lead vocal in the song.
We're in the ARIA charts. We're like number seven or something. So.
Amazing. It's so amazing. It's so cool.
Ben's song Like This or Like That, his single, is streaming now wherever you get your streams, and his new album I'm Fun is out on August the 19th
and touring in June.
Touring in June. Ben, are you after a support? If you're after a support act, I'd be more than happy to come and play the annoying Ben Lee song before your set.
Wait, we should actually do that, Andrew.
I'm serious.
Are you in Sydney or Melbourne?
I'm based in Melbourne these days, but I can.
Okay, let's do it in Melbourne. Let's do it. That'd be really fun.
I think that would be funny.
That's brilliant. That's great.
Okay, you're cool.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Rigging elections since before it was cool. The Chaser Report.
Just before we go, there was an article in The Age this morning that I really wanted to bring to the table because it's hard to know who the least appealing candidate is in this election. I mean, and some could argue any of them were extremely unappealing. But I do sympathise for the Liberal MP for Higgins, Katie Allen, because, you know, there's been all this discussion about who's preferencing whom. There have been all these questions about, you know, is the UOP just a Liberal front? Are they actually going to preference each other or not? Bizarrely enough, last week, Katie Allen's office reported the local UOP candidate Ingram Spencer to the federal police for allegedly, I'm quoting here, acting aggressively towards people and scaring everyone. And a couple of days later, he was arrested, and the claim was that he was using a carriage service to harass someone.
Oh, my God.
And he was
God.
Actually locked up ahead of a first court hearing later this week. So it was a bit awkward when Katie Allen's preferences came out, and she had preferenced this man, Ingram Spencer, ahead of Labor and the Greens.
Oh, my God.
Well, she just doesn't like Labor and the Greens very much.
Yeah, I mean, clearly they're worse, right?
Straightforward.
So then The Age did a bit of digging around into this guy's track record, and it turns out he's a QAnon following Vladimir Putin admirer who posted on social media that he was glad Shane Warne had died.
What?
Because he was in favour of Novak Djokovic's deportation. He's also shared content, I'm just quoting The Age here, questioning whether the Port Arthur massacre happened and backing Russian propaganda in Ukraine.
See, you know what I reckon he's actually in jail for? Is the Shane Warne comment. Everything else is excusable.
That's Australia. That's treasonous. It's a treasonous comment.
That's right.
And I note that he's also a former director of PricewaterhouseCoopers. So, you know, just a regular accountant, really.
Well, he'd be a shoo-in. I reckon, in the times we're living in, the man you've just described would be the President of the United States.
Well, certainly, you know, the leader of the United Australia Party, surely.
Like, yeah, I reckon if he gets
the release,
he's going to knife Craig Kelly after the election. So there you have it. Probably the worst candidate. Although I have confidence in the UOP to have some worse people somewhere in their list of candidates.
Well, I'm pretty sure there's another UOP candidate who got arrested the other day as well.
Who ran in two seats.
For trying to run in two seats, yeah. So,
Maybe she's just ambitious. I think that should be encouraged, not discouraged, that sort of behaviour. I think we need that kind of forward thinking.
It's that kind of forward thinking, yeah, that's right. Craig Kelly's boasted repeatedly, as has Clive Palmer, that they're the only party that's running in every single seat. Maybe don't next time. Maybe do some vetting. Anyway, that's it for today. Our gurus from Rode Microphones are part of the Acast Creator Network, and we'll catch you tomorrow here on The Chaser Report.
See ya.